Shalom, everyone. It was just wonderful hearing your voices this morning. I counted at least six from Canada, Brisbane, Australia, Belgium, and, oh, my goodness, so many from Florida. Even I think I heard Naples. How we just do praise the Lord that you're on here this morning and trusting that you're doing well. I think I heard Beaver, Pennsylvania, where I lived for at least one happy summer. And Colorado, I'm going to be there. I'm headed out there tomorrow. Tonight, I'm flying out to Colorado, where I'm going to be in a meeting with Praise Him Ministries of Victoria Hurst. So I'd like to see you there if you can come. We do, of course, on all of our minds, and all of us who are prayers, we've been praying about the hurricanes. We've been praying about the, and they get it right when they say wicked weather. It is wicked weather. I am so thankful to God. I have friends in Naples and found out yesterday that they were all right, that their places weren't hurt. One of them even still had power. So we're thankful for everything God did. And we want to just lift up all of those whose homes and have been hurt and destroyed. And we'll remember them in prayer. But I do, people have said that it could have been worse. And this was an article that was in the New York Times yesterday. The monster surge that wasn't. Why Irma caused less flooding than expected. I don't know how many of you follow me on tweets and Twitter. But anyway, one day I was praying, and I heard something about the eye. Cry against the eye. And when I heard cry against the eye, I was remembering how the Lord heard the cries of the Israelites when they were as slaves in Egypt. And it was just this, cry against the eye. So I just tweeted that out. And I know that many others got things from God, and I believe that we were praying as possibly one of the times, of course, we had the 16th anniversary of 9/11. So people were praying then, and people were going to churches then. But all across this nation, we were praying. Because of today's good weather reporting, we can tell when something is coming. And so this is the New York Times article, The Monster Surge That Wasn't, Why Irma Caused Less Flooding Than Expected. And it is coming from Naples, Florida. Across coastal Florida, the dreaded storm surge from Hurricane Irma, caused when ferocious winds pile up ocean water and push it on shore, was not as bad as forecast. While some areas were hard hit, notably the Florida Keys and Marco Island, residents of neighborhoods north to Fort Myers, Sarasota, and Tampa Bay were expressing relief. That bit of good fortune was the product, they said, of some meteorological luck. We know it's not luck. When people talk about luck, we know it's not. Now, reading on in the article, then once the eye of the hurricane had passed through those areas, the backside of the storm hit, pulling water east toward the coast. But by this point, the storm's winds were weakening, and the resulting surge was not nearly as strong as feared. That weakening was readily apparent in Fort Myers. When it passed over the city at about 7:15 p.m., the center of the storm, rather than being a well-formed eye, was a jumbled mass of thinner clouds. This suggested the hurricane's cyclonic structure was beginning to come apart. So that eye came apart. It was a jumbled mess of thinner clouds. We know that these are the things that, this is wicked weather. I showed last Sunday some of the faces that have been seen. And of course, we can't go by things that are seen in the clouds, but very definite demonic things seen in the eye of the hurricane and pictured on the Weather Channel. But whether or not those things are demonic faces and heads, I don't know. But we know for sure that it is wicked weather, that the weather was perfect when God created this earth. And so Satan is struggling. He's struggling for his very survival. And these things that hit, I wrote a partner letter, which if you're on the partner letter list, you'll get probably sometime this week or next. If there were any doors open, and I don't know that there were doors open, but if there were, that allowed these wicked weather to hit us, and it certainly wasn't just the people on the South Coast or the East Coast. It's that those are doors into America. But I believe one of the things we have to pray against is disunity and hatred and division and strife, which the Bible says causes every evil work. And we must pray for unity and an awakening to God to keep the door closed to the enemy. Now, we are told in the Word of God that we are to pray first for those who are in authority. And, of course, we've seen so many people in authority have to make some decisions. 1 Timothy 2:1, lift up those and pray for those who are in authority. And we do know that governors have had to make decisions. City officials have had to make decisions. FEMA has had to make decisions. Our president and all of those leaders that we have elected have had to make decisions. So let's lift them up now. They still have to do that. So let's obey the word and pray first of all for those in authority. Heavenly Father, here we are. You see us. We're actually from around the world this morning, and we're a very good representative of the United States of America. We want to praise you and give you glory for everything, especially everything that you have done in the contending against this wicked weather. We thank you for every person that you guided and took to safety, for every person that you protected, for every home that you protected. And Father, we know that it is according to our faith, be it unto us. And we're just so thankful, dear God, for that. We do lift up those, Father, who've suffered loss. But we want to first obey you and lift up those who have to make decisions. Wisdom. We ask for wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom. And you commended him for it. And I've heard our president pray for wisdom with my own ears. And I know, Heavenly Father, that you granted him wisdom. You granted him wisdom. You granted the governor's wisdom. You granted the officials wisdom in dealing with these catastrophic storms. And, oh, Father, we pray for the continuing of that wisdom today. People have to make decisions about roads and water and electrical lines and rebuilding. And it's not too much to ask you to think through every mind of every person that's in authority. Holy Father, we ask in the name above all names that they know how to deal with the looters. They know how to find them. They know how to how to deal with them in the name above all names. And Father, there were lives lost. And we lift up those people who died. I know there were many in the Caribbean. And I saw that some of it was because they had accidents when they were rebuilding, maybe came across electrical lines or whatever. But dear Father, every family who some members are of the family are not on earth anymore, we lift them up for comfort, for counsel. We lift up a people for counsel, Lord, who need to know what to do, what to rebuild, where to rebuild. We ask you, Holy Father, for that. Dear Father, we do lift up our leaders this morning as they have to deal with things in this earth, such as Iran and such as North Korea. Dear Father, in the name above all names, please show them that they see not, show them. That they know not, teach them. Dear Father, oh, Rabasito, you are the one in the Bible. You are the one who told the prophets. And the prophets could see into the enemy king's chambers, bedchambers even, and know what their plans were. You are the one who reveals the plots. Dear Father, I read a few days ago about how some bomb makers were found in France. And we do know that it is written in Hebrews that you know everything's open to you. Everything's naked to you. Nothing's hidden to you. And so we're asking you to reveal the plots, to reveal the bomb makers, to, oh, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I know what Brother Copeland said. You told him concerning 9/11. I watched, dear Father and dearest friends, I watched as they reran what happened on that morning on Fox. They just showed it in sequence, what happened when the first plane hit, what the announcers, what the TV anchor people were saying when the second plane hit. And, oh, Father, in the name above all names, I know that there could have been so many more. I know there could have been. But you told Brother Copeland that you warned everyone, that they fell into three categories, that some of them heard and obeyed. They didn't go to work, or they were late, or they missed their bus. Some of them heard and overrode it, the leading of God. And some of them were not attuned at all to God. But Father, in the name above all names, we want to praise you that you did speak to those people. And we want to thank you, dear Father, that we have not had, on that scale, a terrorist attack, another terrorist attack. We want to thank you and praise you for the 16 years. There have been terror attacks, Lord. And we would just pray in the name above all names that you would expose every one of them. And for dear Israel, for the apple of your eye, Father, what a miracle it is that they even exist. They're like the eye of a storm raging all around them that would like to take out their airplanes, that would like to take out their very existence. And, oh, Father, you have kept them. It is written in Jeremiah that he who gathered Israel, and you have gathered them according to your holy word, according to your holy promise, you have gathered them. And you said in that verse in Jeremiah chapter 30 or 31, 10, he who gathered Israel will keep him as a shepherd does his flock. Thank you for keeping Israel today. Thank you for keeping them, Lord. Thank you, dear Father, in the name above all names, as they approach their 70th year of rebirth. We do thank you, dear Father. And I'm asking you to show me the times and the dates of the tours. I have to make that decision like today. And so, Father, I'm asking all my friends to agree with me that you make it very, very clear which dates you want us to take a tour to Israel and which dates you want us to be in Israel. You know, I saw something Jerusalem Post, and it was concerning Argentina. Argentina was a nation that harbored war criminals. It harbored them. It was against Israel. It was supposedly neutral in the war, but World War II. But they opened their doors to war criminals and harbored them there, gave them safety. And I saw some articles that are the president of Argentina has gone to Israel. And the headline reads, Argentina turns over tens of thousands of Holocaust documents to Israel, mainly telegrams, newspaper articles, notes, and reports. These are documents about World War II, some of them related to Nazi war criminals. Argentina's attitude toward Israel has gone from hostility, even as late as 2015, to one, this is what Netanyahu said, to one of genuine friendship under current President Mauricio Macri, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on Tuesday, and the Prime Minister has visited here. This country was a post-war refuge for Nazis. Adolf Eichmann was captured in the northern area of Buenos Aires in 1960. Other war criminals lived there. What this reminded me of when I read it is that it's the time of the judgment of the nations. It says in Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Now remember, there are three groups of peoples. There are the Jews, the nations, and the church, according to 1 Corinthians 10:30-32. If you don't understand about the three groups of peoples, I wish you would get my book, my little mini book, How to Rightly Divide the Word. I think it's $3 and plus postage. How to Rightly Divide the Word. You have to know in the Word whether it's talking to the Jews, the nations, or the church. And if you don't know, then you will get mixed up on your end time doctrine. You have to know, like for instance, so many people, Shelley, my daughter Shelley, is excellent teacher on these things, and she just came back from having taught in Oklahoma City. And she opened it up to questions and answers. And one of the main questions she got was, she said 80% of the people, the questions that they asked was, does the church go through the tribulation? Well, you won't be mixed up on that if you know how to rightly divide the Word of God. So here in Matthew 25, it says, when the Son of Man, as Jesus said this, shall come in his glory. That means after there's been this battle of Armageddon. And when he comes back with all of his angels, and after that battle is over, then he's going to gather before him all the nations. Let me read it to you again. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, not talking about the rapture, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them, one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in, and so on. And they said, when did this happen? And he answered, Matthew 25:40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. The least of these, my brethren. He's talking about the Jews. He's talking about the tribulation period. It has just, those 7 years have just passed. The church has been at the marriage supper of the Lamb, but the nations are down upon the earth. He's talking to those nations. He's judging them. He's calling them all before him, and they've been down here. These are nations as nations, not individual people, nations as nations. And he said, as much as you did it unto my brethren, you did it unto me. He's talking about the tribulation period. Did you harbor the Jews? Did you give them drink? Did you help them? And to prove to you that he's talking, that he calls the Jews his brethren, I'm going to read from Micah 5:3. And I'll go back one verse so you kind of get the idea. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. And don't forget, Jesus is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up who? Israel. Until the time that she which travails has brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. So he calls the Jews his brethren. And he says to those nations that will be gathered before him at this sheep nation judgment, sheep goat judgment, if you treated them well, then you're going to go into the millennium. There will be, for instance, if the United States treated Israel well, then there will be a United States of America in the millennium. But if you did not, he's going to say, depart from me to those nations who did not do that. The goats he's going to put on his left hand. And he shall say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And they said, well, when did we? He said, I was hungry, you gave me no meat. And they said, when? And he said, as much as you did it unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. Now, I don't have time to go into it, but I do have a teaching on the day that everything changed. And it has to do with September 11, 1999. Not 2001, but 1999. And according to ancient prophecies, that's the day that everything changes. And when I was finding and learning out about this, one of the rabbis told me, for one thing, the final judgment of the nations begins. So we're in a time of the judgment of the nations. Now, Argentina, if things had continued the way they were in World War II, and they harbored criminals, and they were against Israel, then they would definitely have been a goat nation. But when I read these articles about the president coming to Israel and saying we're not going to wait 70 years to come back and turning over all of their evidence against the Nazi war criminals, I'm wondering, because you know God, he is so, repentance is so powerful, the power of repentance. And this president may just as, may have, I'm not saying, I'm not the judge, but he may have saved his nation by turning to Israel and for Israel. And folks, that's one of the main things we pray about when we pray for our president and our senators and our representatives, and we pray for our cabinet. We're praying for them to bless Israel so that the United States of America can be a sheep nation. And I believe that right now things are going, oh, I know some are talking about a trip that Jared Kushner took, but our president has come out strong for Israel, and mainly that two-state solution, they can talk about it, and presidents have talked about it. It will never be. But when we stay strong for Israel, then I'm in the church. I'm going to be in the heavenly Jerusalem. I'm going to be one of those creatures who has a body like unto his glorious body. But I was stationed here. I am a diplomat from heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven, Philippians 3:20. But I've been stationed down here as a diplomat in the United States of America, and I want my country where I was stationed by the Lord to be a sheep nation. So we pray. We lift up President Trump. We lift up all of those, our State Department particularly. We lift up today Rex Tillerson, Lord. Father, in the name above every name, we have sensed in our spirits that the State Department has been the one who's drugged their feet about Israel. And, oh, Lord God, in the name above every name, we ask you to move in that State Department, and we ask you to clean out those who would be against Israel, and to bring in and promote those who would be pro-Israel. And we lift up Rex Tillerson, Father. And Father, in the name above all names, I believe we have 100% participation from this wide representation on this line today. Please, Holy Father, Please have them keep their promises to move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the eternal capital. Heavenly Father, in the name above all names, we now say agreed. We are agreed, and we are praying and lifting up our voices from the 37 states plus Washington, D.C. Holy Father, dearest Father, in the name above all names, move upon them sooner rather than later to move our embassy, to move our embassy. Holy Father, in the name above all names, how thankful I am that you have given us the right to have a place in Israel. But we know that the true owners are you, first of all, and then the Jews. But you've let us have a little lease on the land, a little bit of the land for a while. And so, Father, we pray that the decisions, the decision makers, that we will have favor regarding Migdal Arbel. We will have favor in any decision makers. We ask you to think through Ethan's mind. We ask you to think through Ronnie's mind. We ask you to think through the minds, dear Father, of those that have anything to do with this today. We plead the precious blood of the Savior, the precious Lamb. We plead it over that project. We pray these scriptures, Psalm 127:1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Holy Father, we know that you have made plain to us that you are building this house. And so to build this house, Father, we need Arosh to the Makayo. We need the thoughts of God, the ideas of God, and we need money. And we need decisions made in our favor. And so, Lord, we trust you to build this house. We trust you to build this house. We trust you to build this house. And Father, we lift up to you from the Proverbs, from Mishlei 10:13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Proverbs 24:3, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Proverbs 24:4, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Holy Father, we trust you for wisdom and understanding. We trust you to give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him, revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of our heart, our understanding, be enlightened. All of us who have something to do with this, Holy Father. And dearest Lord, we have the autumn assembly coming up. It's so very soon. Holy Father, in the name above all names, we ask for wisdom and understanding. And we ask for the budget to be met, Father, and many plenty over, so that we can do the good works of the Lord that you've laid upon our hearts to do. And dear Lord, you know our budget is large, mainly large because we want to give largely to those speakers and those musicians that you work through, Lord. And so I claim all of that met in Jesus' name. And I ask my dear friends to lift up, as God would lead you, our autumn assembly. And to come if you can. It's in October. I believe it's the 23rd it starts. I'm not exactly sure of that. We're in a new place this year. We're in the mansion, a theater again with good seating and plenty of parking. And so we would ask you to come if you can. Also, I've got something else if you're still on the line, and I know we're running over, but we have to have unity. We have to have unity. And that is what keeps the evil works away, and that's what will bring an awakening. I'm going to read to you a letter that I've written, and I'm going to ask you to pray about it. Now, this is one to the local ministers. I wrote it to the ministers in Branson, Springfield, the Ozarks, all the ministers around here. 21 years ago, this is the letter. 21 years ago, I came to the Ozarks in Branson in answer to our master's call. He made me know that this area has a special part in his end-of-days purposes. In all probability, you too are here in answer to such a specific call upon your heart. Recently, even over a few years, he has made many to know that we, the United States of America, can know another outpouring of his spirit, even another great awakening. As I have studied at the Lord's leading, the first great awakening out of which this nation was birthed, I have a yearning in my heart to do everything possible to forward his purposes toward a next great awakening. Unity was a major theme in the ministry of George Whitefield, the minister God gave the commission of uniting the colonies into one nation under God. It was picked up by pastors and preachers whom the British called the Black-Robed Regiment, and to whom they credited the winning of the War of Independence. Moved by a yearning to see unity expressed among his servants, the preachers and teachers, I want to personally invite you to a minister's luncheon out on Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, Monday, October 9 at 12 noon. That day is Columbus Day, a day commemorating a man led to discover this part of the world. We chose the date with that in mind, with the inspiration of the President's calling us to a national day of corporate prayer. We felt like this might be the time to do something that I've wanted to do for 21 years. We have a smokehouse, and we will prepare a home-smoked meat meal for you and your pastoral staff. We'll have homemade fixings and desserts. I do hope you can come. I want to meet you and your family. I have such a conviction that the body of Christ is one and that we should act like that is so. I look forward to fellowshipping and praying together in a spirit of love and unity for our nation and this beautiful part of it where he has placed us in his service. So that ends my letter. But what I'm saying to you is unity. We need unity in the body of Christ. And oftentimes in local areas, the pastors are not in unity. They don't know each other. Maybe it's not that they don't want to be in unity, but they're just busy about their own things. But I would like you to pray about this. This is October 9, Monday. And I'd like you to lift this up in prayer if you're thinking about it. And Father, in the name above every name, we lift this to you now. And I lift to you, Father, they've called from all over this country. And I lift to you their churches in their area, their pastors and their ministries, that, Father, they will feel a call to unity. For, Lord, for the body to be in unity, its shepherds need to be in unity. And so, Father, we don't want anything that's just something that some man thinks up, but something that God touches and something that God puts in the hearts of his people. Please put it into the hearts of your people that we are one body, one spirit. Holy Father, and for our dear nation, that we are one nation under God. And so, dear friends, I thank you, dear brothers, dear sisters. It just thrills me to hear you announce your places that you're from. I heard one from Beaver, Pennsylvania, and I lived there a summer, as I said. And it just thrills me to touch base with you and touch our hearts as I, at my ears, hear your voices. And so may you be blessed this day. May you have a wonderful day. If you would want to order our book, How to Rightly Divide the Word, it's 1-800-972-3447. 1-800-972-3447. And another book I surely hope you have, a little mini book, is Authority of the Believer and How to Use It. I got so many reports from people who were using their authority during the monstrous storms. And so God bless you today. Be blessed as you go about in his service. Shalom, shalom.